Are you tired of all the stress and hassle of tax preparation? Well, look no further. The experienced tax consultants at Cambryce Tax Consulting are here to help you navigate the complex world of taxes. They offer expert tax preparation services for individuals, small businesses, and real estate investors. From maximizing your deductions to minimizing your tax liability, they have got your back like chiroprac. Don't wait until the last minute. Call them today and let them handle all of your tax needs. You can contact them at 901-605-4925. Again, that's 901-605-4925, or you can visit their website at www.cambrycetaxconsulting.com. Again, that's www.cambrycetaxconsulting.com for more information. Trust them to handle all of your tax needs so you can focus on what really matters. Cambryce Tax Consulting. Now, to the show. You could be anywhere doing anything, but you're hanging out with us. We appreciate that. So wherever you're listening and however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in tacos, S as in Solomon, like Kennedy Miller's favorite player, Solomon Hill, M as in margaritas. Kennedy Miller, my boy.
You watch your mouth, Alex.
You didn't like that one?
We just got started, and you already up to no good.
Hey, man, I thought that was a good one. I thought you was going to, like, vibe with that one, man.
You know I don't rock with Solomon Hill.
Hey, bro, you know what? Explain to the people who may not know, remember, or care, what is your beef with Solomon Hill, please? So we're all playing off the same sheet of music.
So for those who don't know, we were doing this podcast, and, you know, my Los Angeles Lakers, whatever you want to call it, won a championship in 2020. And in the process of us getting ready to repeat in 2021, top two defense in the league, one of the best records in the league, a man by the name of Solomon Hill found it okay to dive on the floor for a loose ball in a Sunday afternoon game on the ankle of a grown man.
He said on a Sunday afternoon.
Which effectively ended, you know, any hopes of us repeating. He came back, but he was never really the same. And we ended up losing to Phoenix in the first round. And I attribute that to what we call, and go ahead and bleep me out, that bitch made Solomon Hill. So, I didn't plan on starting the show like this, but here we are.
Boy. All right, Jim Ross. Oh, my God. This boy can... But I ain't gonna lie, Ken, I did do that on purpose. I absolutely did. I like when you get upset. It's pretty funny.
Oh, I know you do. I know you do.
Hey, look, it's either him or Jason Garrett. One of them can get you fired up very quickly. Listen,
I haven't heard that name in a while. We don't have to revisit those memories. The thing about Solomon Hill was that was a singular event. Jason Garrett gave me 8 years of hell. Jason Garrett was the white Charles McCarter for me.
Dragged you out the house by your left ankle?
Oh yeah, he dragged. You know, I just watched a movie the other day. I put on the dress. You remember she put on the dress? He thought it was hers.
Yes.
She said, "Charles, this isn't really my style, but it fits." No, Helen, you got to get up out of here. It's me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Helen.
Hey, bro, side note. Do you remember Charles was like, this marriage has run its course. It's over. Bro, he hit her with the... Helen, I haven't been happy in years. Bro, I really think at some point we, as the Game Plan Podcast, need to do a Tyler Perry movie rewatch and watch how Tyler Perry terrorized Black America and then come back and report live.
It could be a couple that we rewatch too, because Diary of Mad Black Woman, Madea's Family Reunion.
Why did I get married the first one?
Oh, absolutely.
You look like the cow that jumped over the moon.
Serena said that.
Serena lied. Oh, God. Rock. I'm out for presidents to represent me. I'm out for presidents to represent me. I'm out for presidents to represent me. Who want to bet us that we don't touch letters, stack cheddars forever? But from the sublime to the ridiculous. So, Kennedy Miller, you know, it is very rare when we talk about college basketball on this podcast. I can't actually remember the last time we talked about college basketball on this podcast. You know what? I think it was when Zion Williamson's Bernie Mac and George Wallace dressing ass was still at Duke. I think that might have been the last time we talked about college basketball. Because typically, sure, it is a tough watch. There's not a whole lot of scoring. Shot making ain't really there. And they play a bunch of zone. So, ugh. But over this past weekend, the women's Final Four, more than 8 million viewers. Championship game got 10 million viewers. It was a hell of a Final Four for the women. And you wanted to be able to enjoy that, but I couldn't because, damn it, y'all can't. Y'all too busy being racist. We can't even enjoy some college basketball when it's actually good for a change because y'all just too busy. Y'all just can't leave the racism at home just for once. Just for once. And Jesus Christ. Kennedy Miller, can you explain it to the folks that maybe missed it? Because explain to the folks what happened in the championship game, please.
We kind of got to backtrack to the Final Four game. University of Iowa played against South Carolina, which South Carolina was pretty much the favorite to win the national championship for the women's, you know, spearheaded by Black coach Don Staley, one of, if not the best coach in college, women's college basketball, and college basketball in general, in my opinion. University of Iowa is led by a girl named Caitlin Clark, who is white, and she literally has been on a tear. She went on a tear, not only just through the year, but through the, NCAA tournament, and I believe either she ended with the most or second most points in NCAA tournament history for the women's. I mean, was literally balling. So they beat South Carolina, big upset, and then they end up playing LSU in the championship. And so LSU, you know, predominantly Black team, led by Kim Mulkey, another one of the college basketball's best coaches. And they knocked him off, and one of their best players, Angel Reese, kind of does the John Cena, you can't see me, towards the Caitlin Clark, girl, and also, you know, points to her ring finger as in, like, you know, we're about to get this ring. And so it just ends up just kind of being blown into this big proportion of, because Caitlin Clark didn't respond, of, you know, classless and, act like you've been there before, and, you know, she's showing her up. And all of this stuff. Whereas Caitlin Clark, you know, two games before that in the Elite Eight, you know, did the John Cena, you can't see me to, I can't remember the team that she played when she did that. But she did it to them. And so, I mean, people saw it, but it was kind of like cool. Like John Cena quoted it on Twitter and, everything like that. Like it was like, oh yeah, it's cool. But then, you know, when this LSU player does it, now it's looked at as, you know, demeaning and, you know, you're shaming her and all this stuff. Like everybody's writing these think pieces about what I believe was just good competition. And apparently what Caitlin Clark believes is just good competition because she came out and said it like, that's, you know, that's why I believe it's going to help people, our viewers with watching our games, this type of stuff. So I don't think she saw anything wrong with it. I don't think it was a problem with it. You know, they're just talking trash. That's what people do.
My first thing is, right, like the first thing this makes me think of, because you know when how people always speak about sports and they say that race doesn't matter in sports and all these other different sorts of things, that, you know, what matters is what you can do on the floor and all this other stuff. Like people leave their racism and their biases and all their prejudices at the door when right. they walk into the gym to watch a game or play a game. And I've always said that's like the farthest thing from the truth, because if racism is built in, is built fundamentally into every aspect of our society and fundamentally built into the equation in this country, it's going to be everywhere.
Yes, sir.
Like racism is not the computer virus. Racism is the computer, shall we say. And just like in every, like everyday life, you have black women having to assert their dignity on the day to day basis. Like it made me think about how going back to Dawn Staley, how she had to talk about in her post game press conference, the way her team has been covered by the primarily white media.
Right.
And the way the phrasing and the wording surrounding her basketball team, a very physical, a very tough, a predominantly black basketball team, and the phrasing and the verbiage used around them is that they're bullies or they're street fighters. You say, we're not bullies, we're not street fighters, we're not thugs, we're not any of these types of things. And you really think about it, these are all these sorts of pervasive stereotypes, negative stereotypes about black women. And so just how in everyday society, black women at work have to stand up for themselves and assert their humanity, Dawn Staley had to do that for her basketball team. Right? And that's crazy to have to think about. And it was almost in the same ways. You remember in like the verbiage and the way we talk about basketball teams based on their race. Like we weren't alive, but you know, we can harken back to where they talked about those Duke teams in the late 80s, early 90s with Leitner and Bobby Hurley and Grant Hill and those boys. Versus UNLV, right?
Yep.
We can go back to like 04, 05 to women's basketball. I don't know if you remember this specifically. Do you remember how they were talking about Tennessee versus Rutgers? And Tennessee had a primarily white roster and Rutgers had a whole bunch of black women, very similar to the way South Carolina did. And Don Imus, a radio host, national radio host, said Rutgers had a team full of nappy headed. And did this without a second thought, right? So, like, the misogyny war is, like, everywhere, and it jumps out. And it always makes me think about this thing to where we need more diversity in the media. Like, if we think about it, sports media is a bunch of white people talking about a bunch of black people, primarily.
Yep.
Right? And all the research and all the studies have shown black people and white people live in two separate different worlds. Right. This is due to housing discrimination, housing segregation, all kinds of different like macro level things. But in the end, we don't spend very much time with each other. We don't hang out in the same social networks, nothing. So the only true investment, the only true engagement white America has with black people is sports and entertainment. And so, yeah, you're going to bring your biases and your prejudices to this. Right. And so, cause that's all I heard. And that's all I saw. And it was one of the most apparent things in the world that 48 hours, everyone is jumping for joy and is so excited about this. And the 2 days later, this has turned into a culture war.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like that is just, it is infuriating to me. Side note, Kennedy Miller, we have lived long enough for John Cena to become this sort of like ubiquitous cultural figure, and that feels really weird. Like, dog,
that's crazy, isn't it? Like, don't you remember like his first like match?
Bro, yes, Ruthless Aggression John Cena, Dr. Thugonomics. Oh man,
yes. Like, I was thinking about that too. Like, I wasn't gonna say it, but I was like, man, we've come to this time where like some kids don't even know what that probably meant.
No.
And like as kids, like we did that all the time. And I was like thinking that too. I was like, when she did it, I'm like, what made this girl do this John Cena you can't see? I haven't seen that in years. Like, I had to give her a props because I'm like, I haven't seen that in forever.
Yeah, she had been tapped in.
Yeah, she'd been tapped into it.
Man, because have you seen John Cena at WrestleMania by chance?
His hair is going out, isn't it?
Bro, he's growing. He's got long hair now. He looks maybe 10, 15 pounds lighter. Like, he looks like he's running for Congress. I'm John Cena, and I'm running for House District 34. Like, that's how bro looks at this point.
Is it still the jean shorts with the... Not the chain no more. Not the Dr. Thugonomics.
He got the G.I. Joe kind of type of shirt on, you know. And he got those jorts in them knee pads. And I'm like, he's still wearing these jorts. Still. These jorts. Still. Like, bro. I'm out for presidents to represent me. I'm out for presidents to represent me. I'm out for definitely presidents to represent me. Who wanna bet us that we don't touch letters, stack chatters forever? Live treacherous. Did you see that Jill Biden wanted to invite Iowa and LSU? Bruh, this is like, have you ever seen or heard of those cases to where a black person is a valedictorian and all of a sudden they want the valedictorian, they want two or three people to make the valedictorian speech or something like that?
Yep.
That's what this is, effectively, right?
Like, why is that necessary?
Bruh, somebody said the whole Final Four just felt like Bring It On.
I mean, low key, honestly, anybody that knows basketball knows that girl can play. Like, Caitlin Clark is probably the best player in college basketball. But they had no business beating South Carolina. Like, I just believe that Dawn Staley got out-coached that day. Like, as great a coach she is, I just believe she got out-coached that day. But you could just tell from the start of the game against LSU, if this girl don't score 45, like, they're not winning. Because without her, LSU was just too athletic, too talented. Like, they were just overmatched. And that's fine. Like, that's fine. You made it to the national championship. A lot of people didn't pick Iowa to win the national championship. So you made it there. You had a great year. I think she's a sophomore. She's got a couple more years left in college basketball. So they'll be fine. But I mean, I don't see why you have to, why there has to be a consolation prize for them. Like they're like just this total like feel good story. No, they lost. Only one team gets invited to the White House.
And, like, you know, I do want to make this point, too. Don't it always feel weird when, like, we're watching a sporting event, and sometimes it happens in boxing. The first time I really noticed it was when Mayweather fought Manny Pacquiao. Mm-hmm. And did you notice all of the black people were rooting for Floyd Mayweather and everyone else was not? And it was like, this feels a bit uncomfortable. I think, or like when the Patriots are in the Super Bowl or whatever, it's like, how come ain't nobody named Jerome or Ladarius rooting for y'all?
Like, I mean, like, cause like, unless it's like the Dallas Cowboys or like LeBron, I'm a pretty like neutral guy. Like, I just, you know, watch it to watch it. But it's something about like when you hear like all these like negative things about like people that look like you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you hear all these like, oh, well, they just athletic, or they just like, you know, they not that smart, or this team just plays the right way, or all this. I'm like, okay, well, I'm a root for this other team. I'm a root for this other team and see what they do. Because like, you couldn't tell me that LSU wasn't about to beat them. Like, as much as they want to hype up Caitlin Clark, and like I said, she is the best player probably in women's college basketball. They had a way better team than them. I mean, it just is what it is. It happens. But I mean, as far as them consolation prizes and all that, I didn't like that one bit.
And I think Joe Biden said something about she just wants to uplift the game of women's basketball. Well, hell, you can call them on some other day.
Right.
You know, you can figure out some other day. Only the winners go to the White House. Okay. That's how this works. Straight like that. Matter of fact, I don't know if you actually want to talk about the men's Final Four, because I ain't going to lie. I ain't watched a minute of it, man. And look, what I was busy doing, and I would like to say this, man. I was busy watching the NIT. I was busy doing that and watching North Texas get it done. Because I can tell you what, Ken, you know I'm not a big college basketball guy, but man, there are times when this could be good. And most times I feel like you can get really into college basketball if you either know the guys, like you know them, you've spoken to them, you know, you have sort of, you know, passing relationship with them like I do, tutoring a good number of the guys and, you know, seeing them in passing, you know. Or that's your school. If not, for those two things, it's really hard for you to like get really tapped in with it, especially with the lack of NBA talent on the floor in college basketball right now, because there's just like a whole so many more options for young basketball players to where they don't have to go play college for a year, then go to G League, Ignite, Overtime Elite. If they're really stupid, they can go overseas. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. I'm so glad that North Texas won. I'm happy for them. As many of you know, our listeners, I'm an alum. You, my friend, are soon to be PhD doctorate alum of the University of North Texas. Just wanted to shout that out.
Hey, man, your boy's official, man.
I love it. Hey, man. I love it.
Dr. Man. Goodwin up in here, man. Look,
Dr. Goodwin.
Hey, it feels weird, man. It feels weird. And I must say, Kennedy Miller was in there shooting with me in the gym. Kennedy Miller was there when I was up in Gateway Apartments, and we was out there on them every Wednesday. We used to come in there, pour that Crown Peach up in that lemonade. After
shout out to Gateway.
Shout out to Gateway Apartments, man. I heard it's the projects now, man.
Really?
Bro, I heard it's the projects. Man, after a hard day of class coming in there on them Wednesdays, boy, hey, I ain't gonna lie, it kept me going, my boy. Kept me going.
Yes, sir. But yeah, no, I'm very happy for North Texas to win that and kind of, you know, solidify how good of a season, you know, not just they had this year, but they've had a run of like two or three seasons where, you know, starting when they made it to the tournament and knocked off Purdue. But I feel like they could have made it to the tournament last year. They've had the number one scoring defense, in the country the last 2 years. So just shout out to, you know, our alma mater. As far as the Final Four, shout out to all those coaches that were, down in Houston, at those events. Cause I had a great time. There's not a lot that I would say on the airwaves because I know a lot of you are on TV.
Hey, talk about that, homeboy from Florida State. Where was he at, bro?
No, Coach Leonard Hamilton is a legend. He was speaking at an event at Clutch Bar. Anybody from Houston know Clutch Bar? It's a good time, especially on Sundays. But Coach Leonard Hamilton is about 76 years old. He's a legend. Why is Coach Leonard in Clutch Bar? Why can't we get him at a banquet hall, somewhere nice where you got to dress up? I mean, I'm smoking hookah on the side. Coach Leonard just waiting to speak. You know, the drinks are flowing. You know, this is a young person's establishment. I'm not trying to have any ageism on this show, but I mean, Coach Leonard, we trying to have a good time. And you could tell, like, he was with some people. They was like, you know, they was kind of looking like, you know, if you trying to leave, we can get out of here.
you could just show your face. And it was time.
Yeah, just show your face. And I'm like, he's standing up the whole time. I'm like, at least give Coach Leonard a seat. Goodness gracious.
Hey, like I said before, bro, that is literally, like I said, I don't know how many of y'all have seen the clip of Slim Thug at a Dice Soho concert. I think it was Dice Soho and Maxo Cream, and Slim Thug is just like standing on the side of the stage looking like, boy, it's past my bedtime. I'm too old for this. Like, that's exactly because that's what I'm envisioning in my head right now, bro.
For sure. No, it was a great time though. And I was so, like, you know, blessed and fortunate to be able to see so many great people in, the profession that I'm in. So he was one of them. And I got a chance to shake his hand and just said, you know, that I'm a big fan of what he does. So, but that part was funny seeing Leonard Hamilton in Clutch Bar.
Hold on. Did you offer him some hookah?
No, I didn't. I didn't offer him some hookah. I didn't want to blow the lungs up.
Might blow his pacemaker or something. Hey, look, because you don't know how hookah mixes with blood pressure medication and osteoporosis, man. Medication, dog. Man.
That strawberry mint might could have taken him out.
Oh god.
Oh man.
Are you tired of all the stress and hassle of tax preparation? Well, look no further. The experienced tax consultants at Cambryce Tax Consulting are here to help you navigate the complex world of taxes. They offer expert tax preparation services for individuals, small businesses, and real estate investors. From maximizing your deductions to minimizing your tax liability, they have got your back like chiropractic. Don't wait until the last minute. Call them today and let them handle all of your tax needs. You can contact them at 901-605-4925. Again, that's 901-605-4925, or you can visit their website at www.cambricetaxconsulting.com. Again, that's www.cambricetaxconsulting.com for more information. Trust them to handle all of your tax needs so you can focus on what really matters. Cambrice Tax Consulting. So we're going to switch some gears. We're going to have some fun in the name and in the spirit of college basketball. We're going to do a round of 32. It's who the champion comes out of in male 90s R&B. We got ourselves a bracket. We've got solo male R&B artists, male R&B groups from the 90s. We're going to work through this bracket and get ourselves a champion. You ready, Kennedy Miller?
I'm ready.
All right. So we got the first matchup. We got Usher versus Eric Benet. Hey, man, I'm going Usher on this one, dog.
Yeah, see you, Eric Benet. Got some songs, but not enough.
We got Luther Ronzoni Vandross and Joe.
That's tough.
Luther versus Joe?
I like Joe a lot.
I do, too.
I'm taking Luther.
Okay, I was about to
say. Just for the record. But I do want to say that I like Joe a lot.
Yeah, man, Joe got some records, and Joe is easily going into the Dirty Mac Hall of Fame. Treat her like a lady. All the things your man won't do. I want to know. Like, yo, Joe is that is waiting on you to fuck up with your girl. That's him.
I agree. Joe, I got to go with Luther on that one.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Joe, though. We got D'Angelo and John B.
D'Angelo, even
on that second album, I barely could understand what the hell he was saying. You remember on Saturday mornings when your mom used to wake you up and make you wipe the baseboards and clean the toilet and do all of that stuff?
Oh, yeah.
It was always D'Angelo, Erykah Badu, that Jill Scott.
Yeah. D'Angelo is certified. He's stamped. I got to go D'Angelo.
Tevin Campbell versus Gerald LaVert.
Now, I'm a big Gerald LaVert guy. I got to go Gerald. I can't.
You going to go Gerald?
I can't.
Oh, man. Yo, this is.
I can't. Tevin Campbell got arguably one of the hottest songs that's always played in every event, birthday party. Can We Talk is certified legendary. But the big teddy bear, Eddie's son, I got to go with Gerald.
I feel you, man. We got to go. All right. We got it. This is an easy one. Babyface versus Donnell Jones.
Yeah. Got to go Babyface.
Bobby Brown versus Keith Sweat.
Get that whining Negro out of here. Get that whining Negro out of here. I'm going with Bobby.
Hey, yo, Keith Sweat sings like he holds his nose while he's in the booth.
I'm going Bobby.
Hey, bro, did you hear Bobby Brown had a stroke?
Did he really?
It wasn't a stroke. He passed out. Like, they had to call EMS to the Toyota Center after the concert on Saturday when they was in Houston. Because he hosted a day party or something. And they was like, this is one of them. You too old to be out here.
He was out there with Leonard. Y'all can't party like y'all used to. They put some more stuff in this hookah, man. This is not for y'all long.
Hey, man, your cholesterol can't take it, player.
Oh, God.
All right. We got Maxwell and Al B. Sure. Maxwell. We got Brian McKnight, who is the new star of a Chili's commercial. And Johnny Gill.
Who you going on that?
Hey, man, I got to go Brian McKnight on that one. One Last Cry, Back at One, Anytime. Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Yeah.
I'm going to go. But, you know, shout out to Johnny Gill, though. Sensitivity. And that one, was that? No. That was Ralph. That was Ralph Tresvant. My Johnny Gill. Wrong.
My Johnny Gill.
Yeah. Shout out to him. So that closes the solo men's side of the bracket. Now let's go to the male R&B, to the male group side of the bracket. So first up, we got Boyz II Men versus LaVert.
I'm going Boyz II Men. But this is a strong 16 seed right here. Okay. They bringing it down to the last 5 minutes. And Boyz II Men is just taking it away from there.
Hey, they're gonna make a couple more buckets.
Oh yeah. They're gonna make a run. Like, you're gonna sweat a little bit. Pop, pop, pop goes my mind.
Oh man. So the next one we have Jagged Edge versus Junior Varsity New Edition, better known as Bell Biv DeVoe.
See you, BBD.
Like, bro, BBD has Poison and yep. His other one is When Will I See You Smile? I think that's the other one.
I think it is, yeah.
But it's like, yeah, man, like Jagged Edge. We got Promise, He Can't Love You.
Oh man.
I Don't Wanna, Where the Party At, Gotta Be.
Let's Get Married, right?
Yeah, Let's Get Married. Yo, Jagged Edge made R&B for niggas who had to go see their probation officer twice a month. They absolutely did. And I think we can say this at this point. We are old enough to say, "We ain't getting no younger, we might as well," is a horrible lyric.
That's a terrible line.
That brother's telling you we need to get married because he can't afford to pay child support.
Right. That's a terrible line.
Someone needs insurance here. Oh man. All right. Moving to the other side of the bracket, we got New Edition and Troop. This is easy, New Edition.
New Edition. Now, you know, really fun fact about Troop. I don't know, like, I always thought that, is it All I Do Is Think Of?
Yeah, All I Do, yeah.
I didn't know that was a Jackson 5 song.
Yeah, man, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that kind of like, it don't like drop them, but like, if that's like your best song, and that was somebody else's song, like, and if you listen to the Jackson 5, it ain't like they just did this beautiful rendit, like, it was kind of the same song, ad libs and all.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I know definitely what you mean, but back in like the 60s and the 70s, everybody sang covers of everybody else's songs.
Yeah, though. I get it.
So
I
it's like,
you know, I know Luther did it. Luther has a lot of other people's songs. Yeah, like, I know that.
I don't know if Superstar's a cover or not. I'm not sure.
Oh, I think it is. And that was my bathtub song right there.
Hey, yo, I ain't going front, man. We going to get back to Luther on the top end of the bracket because, whoo. Then we got Tony and After 7. Man, we got to go with Tony, man. Anniversary.
You know it.
That's an easy one.
That's an easy one for me.
At the bottom end of the bracket, we got the one seed. Kennedy Miller's probable favorite to come out of the male R&B side of the bracket. We got Jodeci versus H-Town.
I ain't seen a lot of people knock them off. Jodeci definitely escaped or getting out of that first round rather easily. Alex, have we picked an upset yet?
I don't think we have. I think we're about to pick one. I think we're about to pick one. No, we got Guy and Silk.
Whoa.
We got Guy and Silk.
Hey, now this is a great 8-9 matchup.
Bro, okay, this is tough.
This is a great 8-9 matchup.
I got to go with Silk. I have to go with Silk.
I don't know.
Hey, kid, you know that Meeting in My Bedroom is your jam. Wait, Ken.
That's my drunk anthem.
Tell the folks if they don't know the story, Ken. Come on.
Listen, my friends in college would purposely get me drunk just so I could sing that last line. Because when I sing it, I sing. And I like Silk because you could tell the passion that them sing with. That ain't just no written out lyrics and you just singing something somebody else wrote. That's some real pain. You know what I mean?
That's fiending.
Bird up there, huh? Because when he really get into singing that shit, I know that, baby, I'm ready to give you all of my love.
Deeper. Hey, kid, you got to hit the note, man. You got to come in. Come on. My.
Come into my room. That's all I got for you. That's all you got. But listen, but Guy literally grooved me. I think it was a year 2019, maybe 2020. I listened to that song every day. Every time I got in the car, I played Groove Me. I don't know if for some reason it had a hold on me. We don't have to disagree on that.
Hey man, look.
Well,
hey.
Actually, I'll give you the simple one because I think you gave me the Gerald LaVert one.
Yeah, I think I did, but I ain't going for it, man. Guy, and more specifically, Aaron Hall.
Yes.
You talk about a dude to where, if not for his voice and the way he kind of sang a lot of stuff, all the 90s R&B, like, that can almost single-handedly say, the way he did those runs and the way he did those ad libs and the way he just sang, inspired a lot of artists. And, one of them we can't really talk about no more. Cause,
I was about to say, we are missing a very favorable one seat. I understand. NCAA sanctions.
Look, hey, you're not on TV. You lost all your scholarship. You got the, look, they hit them with the SMU 1988 they football.
Stripped your banners. Listen, we ain't gonna talk about them, but just know some would already be eliminated. Easily.
And now we've got 112 and high five. Go with 112.
Yeah, 112. It's easy. That's easy for me.
Now we got mint condition. And is this Shay? Shay? Have I said?
I think it's Shay.
Yeah, I think it's Shay. Either way, they out in the first round.
Yeah, they're out in the first round.
All right. Now moving on to the second round, we got.
Then it gets tough.
This is tough, man. This is, yo, I'm mad whoever put this bracket together. We really got Usher Raymond versus Luther Ronzoni Vandross in the second round, man. This is, oh God.
Oh, give me your answer first.
Man, honestly, bro, I got to go with Velvet Voice Vandross. And this, I'm in pain right now having to do this because no, this should be like, yo, why is Luther not on the other side of the bracket?
Usher was literally my first ever favorite artist. But after learning about Luther and listening to Luther, man, I got to go Luther too.
And this hurts. This is one of those like last second buzzer beater type things where it's like someone has to lose.
Yes. Yeah, this is the buzzer beater for real.
This one hurts. Then we got D'Angelo. Gerald LaVert. This is another. I think this is a toss-up, but I think
Gerald LaVert doesn't have a album as good as that D'Angelo album. He just doesn't. I gotta go D'Angelo. I'm sorry, Gerald. I can only take you this far.
I can only get you to the second round.
I could.
And I think this next round, this one is going to be a blowout. Babyface and Bobby Brown. Easy. Like this is Babyface is probably he's going to walk into the semis. Before being challenged.
He got on the good side.
Yes, like.
Oh, I'm playing Bobby in the second round?
Oh, we Gucci.
We Gucci.
Hey, this is like, you know, Texas playing like Virginia Commonwealth or somebody like that, bro.
Yeah, I know.
On the other end, we've got Maxwell and Brian McKnight.
I'm going Maxwell.
I think we have to.
I like Brian McKnight. I don't love Brian McKnight.
I could agree with that. I think Maxwell by 12. It's a good game, but you know.
Yeah.
They get stops at the end. This is an ass whipping. Boyz II Men versus J.E.
Yeah, they.
That's like when you're playing the Hawks and you go out and party the night before because you know you just don't mop the rug with them. Yeah. They're going to blow them out. This is sure as my name is Wanya.
Hey, this is what, yo, you know what this reminds me of, bro? I don't know if I ever told you the story of when Texas Southern played North Carolina in the first round and TSU was up 10-4, like 5 minutes into the game. And my dad was like, hey, yo, man, TSU need to send somebody to the back of the building, call in a bomb threat. Game's over. Oh God. So let's keep this rocking. We got New Edition versus Tony. This is another tough one.
Yeah, that is tough. I like Tony a lot. Did I pick the last time or did you pick?
I think I picked the last time. Well, I'll say this. Look, we were both in agreement. Boyz II Men by 30.
I might go Tony.
In an upset.
Ooh. Anniversary. Oh, man.
Now we've got Jodeci versus Silk.
And see you, Silk.
Yeah, Silk got to go. This is Jodeci by 17.
Yeah. This is a generational team right here.
This is 2014, 2015 Kentucky.
Yeah. Jodeci
to the semis. 112 versus Mint Condition. Mint Condition by 13. Do you have an upset?
Nah, mint condition. I have to think for a second.
All right. So now we're in the semis. We've got Luther versus D'Angelo. Luther, bro, Luther is walking to the finals just about.
Yeah. Luther played his toughest competition in the second round.
Probably so. We got Babyface versus Maxwell. This is another blowout. Like,
Babyface has had a really easy run.
But he's got the light end of the bracket, Babyface. We got Boyz II Men versus Tony.
This finally is some competition for Boyz II Men.
Finally some, but it's like I think this is still like the final score makes us think it was closer than it actually was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this one at least made him work.
That is true. But I'm going Boyz II Men. Boyz II Men by 10.
I agree.
We got Jodeci versus Mint Condition.
First one to make Jodeci work.
Yeah, I think so. This is a tough one. Well, I'm lying now. It is not a tough one. This is a tougher game than they've had in the earlier rounds. This is a better ball game. They're not just winning by 50.
Right. They winning by 25.
Yeah, like, you know, but yeah.
Mint Condition's good, but they're not beating Jodeci.
Yeah, and Mint Condition got some jams, man. What kind of man would I be? You ain't gotta hurt no more. Breaking my heart,
yeah.
Oh man, like they got some jams, man. They do. But Jodeci to the final four. Jodeci and Boyz II Men are in the final four. Kennedy Miller. Why is Drew Hill not in this bracket? I just thought about this.
That's what I was thinking.
Like, Drew Hill is not in here. Like, we could have got rid of Shy, a High Five, or somebody, because, you know, Cisco would have had something. Cisco would have given one of them a hell of a matchup.
I totally agree.
Bro, and can't we just say, and all, like, highlight the fact that them boys was jumping and hollering, singing Tell Me, and they were in key, on pitch, perfectly. Like, bro, jumping like that while singing and staying in step. That's an extreme sport.
That's tough, bro.
But Jodeci versus Boyz II Men. I know we're talking about basketball right now, but if this was in football terms, this is like Alabama, Georgia. You know what I'm talking about?
This is powerhouse. This is one where if they played 10 times, it might be 5-5.
In a one game situation, Kennedy Miller, I think I know who you're going to pick because you always talk about it. The summer of 2018 in that blue Ford Titan.
That's why I rock with you, Alexander Goodwin. That's why I rock with you. Now, Boyz II Men got me through my childhood, right? But what made me a man was them Jodeci boys. Come and talk to me. Forever my lady. Stay. Fiend it. We can't. I can't. Boyz II Men, they're legends in my book. Legends. They made it to the Final Four. They had a lot of heart.
Wasn't enough.
hey, bro, is it ever just me? Did you ever look at Boyz II Men and be like, yo, what are they wearing? Them boys always was dressed like adjunct sociology professors.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it was good for my childhood, but like, Jodeci was really on another level for me.
Hey, bro, somebody made a joke and they was like, Boyz II Men made that I Want to Kiss You So Bad R&B.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's good music, don't get me wrong, but the Jodeci thing is just totally different. And I gotta rock with Jodeci.
Absolutely. So, Jodeci to the championship. And on the other end of the bracket, we got Luther Vandross versus Babyface. And oh my God, this is another one of those where it's like, yo, this is a hell of a Final Four.
For sure. Who are you? So I just gave my explanation for that last one. So you give me your explanation for this one.
Man, look, honestly, bro, if I'm honest with myself, these two guys are two of the greatest songwriter, producer, artist of our generation. Ain't that many, you know, really. And if we talk about male R&B, them two dudes are easily, like, if we're talking about going from, like, the 60s, early 70s to, you know, the modern era, those two dudes are easily top 9, top 10, easily. Of course, you know, we're not talking about your Charlie Wilsons, you know, your Ron Isleys, your Princes, your Marvin Gayes, you know, sure. The dude who cannot participate because he's under NCAA sanctions. You know what I'm talking about?
Books? And listen, it was worse than Patino. He's gone and ain't no coming back.
Never.
Alex, they don't even play his stuff on Hardwood Classics. they just pulled a Chris Benoit. You can't find this stuff nowhere.
Look, took all the banners down. Look, and they done threw them in the dumpster. They don't even keep them in the university records. They're like, it's all gone. All gone. But Luther and Babyface, two of the greatest songwriter, producers, artists in the history of black male R&B. You know what I'm saying? And it's just so tough because they're just, and like Babyface just being the songwriter that he is. You know what I'm saying? Like Babyface legit could have done a verses of records he wrote and produced for other folks and records he did himself. Like there ain't too many folks we talking about that can really do that. You know what I'm saying? But I say all that to say in a one game situation, Luther Ronzoni. Vandross, and he's the only Vandross I've ever heard of.
You ain't got no Vandross down the street from you either, do you,
bruh? When have you ever heard met a? What have you ever met a Vandross?
Yeah, I gotta go Luther fam. I got to,
bro. I just thought somebody. I thought about this just now. If you know on the video games when they just create automated names, they ain't never NCAA. NBA 2K, they ain't never just automated the name Vandross. They got every other last name in the book. They ain't got
Clifton Vandross.
Is he the only one?
He gotta be, fam.
Bro, gotta be. The finals. The championship. Jodeci versus Luther. I think we might go two different ways here. I think we are. But I think it is just, they have two different styles.
They do.
This is like the Spurs and the Phoenix Suns. One is just like up and down, a whole lot of fun, freewheeling, and the other is just technically skilled and talented and precise. And, you know, defense wins championships.
That's why I think I'm going to have to go with Luther.
Luther Vandross. Luther Vandross. So the winner of the Game Plan Podcast. March Madness R&B Tournament. Superstar. Never too much.
Too many hits, bro. It's just too many hits.
Dog, Luther.
Like, I like longevity versus peak, right? Like, I think that Jodeci, like, the peak of their songs were better than Luther songs. But the longevity of the stuff that Luther made, I mean, we go from If This World Were Mine, you know, to Take You Out. Like, come
dance
on now.
Dance with my father.
You know, you. Dan, my daddy ain't even died, so I don't even have to play that yet. But I am. I don't want to be anytime soon, but it will. I'm going to play it. But yeah, Luther deserves this. But Jodeci is no shame in being second in this, Jodeci. There's no shame in having your head down. Because guess what? I'm going to invite you to the White House too.
And that, folks, is another episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Kennedy Miller, my boy. Yo, we ain't laugh like this in a good minute, dog.
Oh, man. Yeah, this is fun, man. I enjoyed it.
Man, where can the folks find you on Twitter?
Find me on Twitter, _KennedyMiller_, man. Again, that's _KennedyMiller_.
All right. You guys can find me on Twitter @AlexGoodwinTSM. Again, that's on Twitter @AlexGoodwinTSM. That's T as in Tevin Campbell, S as in shy, M as in men condition. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. For Kennedy Miller, my name is Alex Goodwin. This has been the Game Plan Podcast. We'll catch you guys next time. Take it easy.